I'm Josefina Bonsundi-Nvumba. Welcome to Retention Conversations, the podcast. I truly believe in the untapped potential existing in Africa and within African communities inside and outside of Africa, whose talent, hard work, and innovations can help and are helping transform our societies. I also believe in the value of stories and that by sharing, we can identify common lessons, challenges, and opportunities for growth. This podcast is for those interested in African narratives and topics that touch African communities, with the hope of creating a safe platform for open conversation, learning, and inspiration. I hope you're as excited as me and that you enjoy listening. Part 2 presents a conversation with Omnia Mohamed Abbas, a Sudanese entrepreneur and founder of Andareya, a digital cultural multimedia storytelling platform on Sudan, South Sudan, and Uganda. Andareya creates multimedia content in the form of articles, photo essays, videos, and digital campaigns in Arabic and English, with the objective of reshaping the narratives and challenging stereotypes. Omnia tells us more about how it all started. Hi, Omnia. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good. So, can you please introduce yourself? Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you do?
My name is Omnia Shawkat, and I'm from Sudan. I'm in beautiful Marrakesh with you tonight, and 52 other African women.
54? Of course. Good point.
Total 54, and I'm the one with the glass. Huh? Yeah, and we're having a great cocktail party with some amazing women from all around the continent as well as beyond. And so my story is, I'm a biologist. I studied biology and environmental studies. I grew up all over the place, in Cairo mostly, but also Qatar, Libya, Emirates, Netherlands, and the U.S. And after going in the track of environmental studies, policy and management, and 6 years of work and a master's degree, I decided that I want to do something different. Part of it was I just understood that the frustration of African nations with the environmental issue is multi-layered, but at the core of it is we've got bigger problems. And I get that. I used to believe that the environment should be integrated in every problem, but now I see why it's not being prioritized. So I made a shift to do digital storytelling and cultural management when I started seeing the potential for digital in a continent, specifically in Sudan, where people were using social media, they were using digital tools more and more. More people could afford smartphones. The internet penetration was rising very, very quickly. And there was an opportunity there to also claim that space as our own, because the idea was there was so much negative publicity around Sudan, South Sudan, the rest of the continent, obviously. And the digital world and the digital tools we have at our disposal, just at our fingertips, could be the solution to challenging that narrative and recreating a story, reshaping the narrative, telling it differently with our own voices, first of all, but also in whatever way we want to. And I thought that culture would be the way to do it.
So let me thank you for that. That's a very good, detailed introduction. Just to take a step back, can you tell us what your roots are and where you come from and how this all started, really, relating to your roots and your identity, just so we actually get a bit of the background and the context. And then following from that, which you already started developing, can you tell us what brought you to WEAR, to this forum and summit, which I think is some of what you already started telling us about?
Yeah. So I was born in Sudan in 1987, and I moved out in 1990 or 91. And we moved around to different places around the Arab world. And I was always Sudanese. That's the only identity I had. That's the only passport I had. But the Sudanese-ness didn't really come to me until I started going to Sudan as an adult. And then kind of seeing other people who are coming from all around the place as well, experiment with their own culture, which is a mixture of Sudanese and other cultures that they've grown up with, and the local culture, which was also kind of, it was like an othering kind of culture. It's like you guys and then us guys, and then, as the locals and then you guys. And I really did not really think about it, but then I spent a year between the Netherlands and Sudan, and that was the first time that I lived there for about a year. almost a year as an adult. And I was really, like, I was doing a lot of, like, volunteering and that kind of stuff to understand what are young people in my domain doing, because I didn't grow up there or study there. My relationships with people was limited to my family. But I started kind of carving out my own space, getting my own friends, and the Sudanese-ness came to me very, very late. Just also the political sphere is very embedded in our culture. Even though we grew up outside, every Thursday my parents would have friends over, and that's all they talk about. They talk about politics all night long.
I know that feeling.
It's the African thing, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, oh my God, this is so boring. Like, why do we have to discuss something that is so abstract? And then I went to Sudan and I realized that politics undercuts every single thing we do. And that's just how it is. They are so embedded in our personal life, in our work life, in our everything. Basically, like on the road, at work, at school, politics is just there. And I started connecting more by reading more. I raided my dad's bookshelf and started to do more like historical kind of like reading and try to understand the context. How did we get here? How do we have such a complicated political sphere? How do we have such injustice? How do we have... When I moved there, it was just right after the secession of South Sudan. And I just felt hurt. I didn't really understand what was going on. But I felt like we did not give South Sudanese people the dignity they deserve, the development that they earned with their resources and their lands and their just wealth. Of course they will succeed. But it just made me so sad that they did that after years and years and decades of war and losses and just seeing South Sudanese people all over the world dispersed because of the war and displaced. It was very painful, but I just didn't understand it very well. The understanding of the South Sudanese-Sudanese axis came to me when I was in the U.S. So when I was in Sudan, I met my first South Sudanese friend back in 2011. And she's a friend of a friend and my sister. And when I went to the U.S., it was the first time I had my own network of South Sudanese friends who were like adults like me, who were like just, you know, coming into like our adulthood and understanding what's going on in the world. And it just hit me that this was so intentional. So then I started really digging into like who am I? Like, what does Sudanese mean? And how does this factor in the whole kind of like rubric of like Africa and the Arab world and the Middle East and the North Africa and then the whole East Africa bloc, which we were supposed to be joining, but then our president kind of turned that down. And that became kind of like a mission. Like, I need to move back. And then I had already met my partner in Andaria, which is a platform we created to tell the positive stories. Her name is Salma.
So let me take it. So the reason you decided to move back to Sudan was to connect to the roots that you were starting to experience, correct?
Yeah. I had already lived in the Netherlands. I had already lived in the U.S. I had lived in Africa, like Egypt for like 10 years. I lived in the Gulf. And I just felt like none of these places needed me. They've had amazing qualified people, and they still do, and they can attract that kind of talent. But it's home that is basically facing a plethora of different reasons where people are basically either made to flee or they flee because they have to, for economic reasons, political reasons, societal reasons, whatever it is. And I just felt like if I can make it to go back home and still be okay with that, if I can go back, connect to the roots, as you said, to connect to the story, connect to this whole like historical mess that I come from that I didn't really understand because I was living as a foreigner somewhere and it didn't really matter where I came from because we're all foreigners there anyway and the locals were locals and that was fine. I just wanted to understand. And if I could make it and be able to do that, then that's great. So I took a pledge. So I was like, let's do this. And it was an adventure.
So then tell us about your initiative, which is what brought you to WIA here in Morocco. What is it called? What do you do? And why do you do it?
It's called Andaria. And the idea is that it's a mythical person who is known to be like a Robin Hood of sorts. He like, you know, steals from the poor, gives to the rich, from the rich, gives to the poor, is loved by everybody, hated by the authorities. He's like on the go all the time. He doesn't stop anywhere. So we like the idea of it. And we like that he was not from the central area of Sudan, but he was also a mythical person.
So Andaria is the name of so it has a story. What does it mean?
It's a name. Okay. So it's the name of a person, and the story belongs to that person.
Okay, fantastic.
So we love that mythical feel of it, and then it sounded really nice in English and in Arabic. So I did move back to be closer to my family, to understand Sudan more. I just felt like 1 year was not enough, and I wanted to get more exposure, but also contribute, because when I met my current co-founder, all we talked about was how we were so upset with the negative stereotypes of Sudan at the time, and now we understand that this is an Africa problem. And we really talked about it for hours, and we're like, okay, let's do something about it. Let's get people to talk about the positive things that we see, but no one else does, in the like outside world, but also within our own circles, because people are just so bogged down by the negativity that they don't see the positive things that are trying to create a ripple effect. So we did that. We started creating a website in about October 2014. I moved back in January 2015, just 6 days before we launched Andaria, which was February 2015, on the 6th of February. So I moved back, and we started asking friends to like write stories, create content for us. We were translating, posting, we were doing everything, me and her, Salma.
So what kind of stories do you write about, and why do you think it's important for the rest of the world and also as well as other Sudanese people to know that these stories exist?
So because we both, I live in Sudan now and Salma lives in Qatar, and we wanted to connect between the diaspora and the local context, and we wanted everyone to share their story. So it's a very democratic platform. Anyone can send anything they want and we publish it for them. As long as it's positive, it's meaningful, it has positive messages, but it also has a context that is interesting for people. It's entertaining and entertaining at the same time. There's information there. There's something that would add to the person, as, you know, we're all distracted with our crazy busy timeline. So when someone clicks on the article or the video or the photo essay or the newsletter, we want them to gain from it, but also enjoy reading it. So it's positive stories about women, technology, arts, culture, music, film, literature. And we've started with Sudan. 6 months later, we started South Sudan, and we added Uganda sometime last year. And the idea is we want to have a Pan-African project telling positive stories, challenging the negative narrative, giving voice to people in the continent to share what they think is relevant, what's contemporary, what's hip, what's nice, what's trending, what are people talking about at this point in time. So we want to go back and revisit these moments. We want to archive the stories. We want to archive the opinions, the happenings. Because, sure, we're using social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. But these things disappear in seconds. If we don't have them somewhere where we can document them and archive them, then we'll never be able to go back to those moments.
How do you think stories affect our self-esteem or our own history?
Big time. I mean, I heard it from people who are working at the Washington Post and the New York Times, and they said, we only like to sell or publish stories about Africa in four realms, which is disaster, poverty, corruption, and war. And when you Google African countries, whatever the country is, you usually come across these themes. And these are the themes that have been manufactured in news for decades. It's very hard to break the cycle. So what this does to us is people think that this is all that is in Africa. They don't think about the culture, the fashion, the film, the music. But I really believe, and I see it in culture, I see it in music, I see it in our African prints making it to Dior's runway. That we have impact, but we just need to own the narrative, own the story, have agency of our culture, of our stories, and portray it to the world. We do it now. I love that we're doing it on Instagram. I love that we're doing it on Facebook. I love that we're doing it on Twitter. We're reclaiming that space for ourselves. But we do need more media to be speaking outwards, to talk to the world like, this is who we are. These are our stories. And we have the good, the bad, the ugly, and the fantastic.
Very good. So what is your vision for Andaria? Where would you like to get to?
I'd love it to be a Pan-African project. I feel like that's our direction. That's where we're working every single day with that goal in mind. Every action we do is very deliberate so that we have a Pan-African project, like a Pan-African media, culture, tech platform that is delivering news, that is delivering ideas, that is delivering events, that is delivering opinions, coverage, reviews, interviews of fantastic, inspiring, entertaining, edutaining ideas about culture and technology and women and arts and just just really changing the narrative, making us feel good, uplifting our spirit, uplifting how we feel about ourselves, connecting us as a continent, because we're really not that connected. We're kind of scared of each other, scared of our differences, but it's okay. We can embrace our differences and we can connect with our similarities, so we can have a shared context where we can engage each other in ways that are meaningful to us in whatever realm we cross into. A Pan-African digital platform for everybody, and everybody can share their stories in whatever digital format they think is interesting. And we'll be reaching the world, we'll be connecting to the Americas, to Asia, to Europe, and really reclaiming that space digitally and archiving every single story and topic in a way that is always relatable, but it's also searchable.
Okay,
because Google is life.
So now I'm going to start a few sentences and I would like you to complete them, okay?
Fun. Okay.
My biggest fear is
stagnation.
What I'm most proud of is
moving back to Sudan. That was a huge adventure for me. It's not very easy. I don't really fit in the culture. My ideologies are completely different. But I'm there. I'm carving my space. I'm not imposing on anyone. At the same time, I'm not letting anyone affect my thinking, my ideas. And I'm coexisting quite peacefully, I think.
The biggest lesson I've learned is?
Love your people. They need to hear it, they need to see it. Everybody's suffering in so many different ways. We come from very difficult contexts, and if you don't show it, if you don't, you know, pick up the call, the phone call, pick up the call when they call, text, check on them deliberately, people will just fall through the cracks, and that's really sad to see.
And now just to finish on a very positive note, hopefully, I would like you to tell you, or to also complete this sentence, the Africa I want is?
Strong and powerful, has a seat at the table.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.